Well, thank you for singing that song, and I just pray that your heart was just full with all that God has done and just the degree he went to rescue you and I back for his sake. This is part two of what we did last week, of our experiencing God, not just having the head knowledge of him, not just having activity for him, but actually experiencing life with him like we were created to. And what that boils down to is a word that you have heard so many times called worship. It's probably something that we will visit maybe in the fall, maybe in the spring. I kind of feel like in the coming days we'll look more about what worship is. And we have done that before, but revisited and maybe taken a couple of different directions and ways, if you will. But worship is about our life. And you've heard all this before, but it's all about us remembering maybe some things that we have forgotten. It's about what we love. It's our time. It's our money. It's our devotion. It's our allegiance. It's the things that we give ourselves to. When we begin to trace the trail of those things, we are going to find a throne. And whatever sitting on that throne is what we worship. And when we really begin to look at that, what are we spending our time on? Our money, giving our devotion allegiance to, a lot of times when we trace that trail, at the end of that trail, guess who's on the throne? A lot of times we're on the throne. Because if we're going to be really honest with ourselves, and if I'm really honest with me, I love myself, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. A lot of the times it's us. And we've got to reshift our allegiance and our devotions and our time and our money, our affections, the things we give ourselves to align ourselves with God. Because worship is life, and our life is worship, and it is to be poured out to God. True worship is our response to God. It's our response to God with our lives for who he is and for what he has done and who he has revealed himself to be in his word, in creation, through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And it's our response to all of that. And true worship is you and I saying yes to God with our lives. Well, yes to what? It doesn't matter. Just, yes, Lord, I love you, I need you, I want you, I delight in you, I've tasted, I've seen that you're good. And before you even tell me what it is, I just want to say yes to you, Lord. I'm on board with you. I'm in line with you. I'm walking in step with you. See, God has put eternity in our minds, and he's filled our human hearts with longing. But a lot of times, we just don't know what we truly long for until we see and taste and experience the majesty and the beauty of our Creator God. I got to spend 2.5 months in Africa, and I can tell you, I stood before Victoria Falls and wept at the glory of God and his majesty. It's getting outside. It's seeing what God has created and just responding to him. And our passage that we are going to look at is a familiar passage, and it comes from John chapter 7. Before we get into that, I want to read a quote to you. A couple of quotes, actually. One is by a guy, a pastor named John Piper. He says, "Greatness is crucial when worship is at stake." Why is this so important? It works against a person being bored with God and excited about the world. If you've never felt thunder and lightning, then you'll be impressed with fireworks. If you turn your back on the greatness and majesty of God, you'll fall in love with the world of shadows and short-lived pleasures. When you become so blind that the maker of galaxies, the ruler of nations, the knower of all mysteries, and the lover of our souls becomes boring, then only one thing is left: the love of the world. For the heart is always restless. It must have its treasure. If not in heaven, then on earth. True worship comes from a heart where God is treasured above all human property and praise. C.S. Lewis said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." And in Jeremiah 2:13, we see the prophet saying, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns," which is a well. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. I don't know, maybe that's where you feel right now, that maybe through all this stuff that we've experienced this year, that you've maybe just filled your life with a lot of stuff and it just feels empty, it feels hollow, or maybe you're overwhelmed with stress and anxiety or worry and all of that. But I believe we have an incredible invitation to us, and Jesus has it for us in John chapter 7. So if you'll turn there with me in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters.'" Jesus was at a feast. It was a feast to remember God's faithfulness to Israel during the time of Israel wandering in the wilderness. It was also a time of celebration for Thanksgiving of the harvest. And we see Jesus standing and he's saying these words. They're already eating. They're already feasting. And he goes another step further. He says, "If you are really hungry and thirsty, well, you come to me and eat. And from within him, you come, and within ourselves, rivers of living water will flow." Again, I don't know where you are, but I believe everybody today, I believe we're hungry and thirsty for three things. Really quickly, I believe that we are all thirsty for a love that's for free. It's a come as you are love. Many of you maybe thought growing up and even now, for you to be loved, you've got to earn that love. Maybe it's I had to have all A's, or I had to make the cheerleading team, or I had to be on the football team. I had to jump through the hoops in order to earn love. It's a love for free. Come as you are. All of your scars, all of your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your addictions, it doesn't matter. Just come because I love you for that, and I want you to know me, experience me, and walk with you. It is a love for free. Number two, I believe that we so long for a love that is so strong, it will never let us go. And what I mean by that is so many of us have been wounded by those that we love that have basically one day that just said, "You know what? I'm done. I'm gone. I'm out of here. And we are thirsty for a love that is for free. And it is the love that we have in our Father, God. And it is a love that we have access to through Jesus Christ that made a way for us on the cross. And number three, I think we're all hungry and thirsty just for a purpose, a reason to get up in the morning, more than the American dream, more than activity for God or just dropping a dollar in the offering plate. But it is just this deep hunger and thirst for identity that can only be found in a true relationship, in a day-to-day experience with the living God. That's what you were called to, what you were created for, and what I was called to, what I was created for. If you're stressed out, if you're worried, if you're anxious, there's an invitation for you. There's an invitation for me. Come and drink. Come and feast on Jesus. Taste and see that he is good. Delight yourself in him. Find your refuge, your protection, your strength, your hope in him. If you need help figuring any of that out, please reach out to me, reach out to Charlie, reach out to Jim, reach out to someone that you know and love and trust and ask them, what does that look like? How do I experience that day-to-day walk? We would love to meet with you and talk with you about it. Let me pray for us and we'll be done. Jesus, thank you for that invitation today. And Lord, we thank you for your love that is free, that we don't have to jump through hoops. We thank you for that love that holds on to us even when we are too weak and weary and don't even feel maybe some days like we can hold on to you, or we feel like we've blown it and there's no way you can love us through what we've done. And yet you demonstrate your love for us and that you died for us even when we were against you and walking away from you. And it is a free invitation. And Lord, we thank you that you give us purpose and life outside of just the American dream. But it is to live a life of purpose and meaning and then to step on into eternity and live with you forever and serve you and worship you forever. Lord, I pray that you are stirring in hearts to experience you and taste you. Thank you for this time together. And it's in your name and for your glory. Amen.